Hello and welcome to the Disconnected Gamers Podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. Continuation from the episode you might have just listened to, episode 89, part 2, or episode 90, to be determined. It is Monday, November 27th. Yesterday was Sunday, November 26th. We were talking about Black Friday deals. I got dragged into something that I had to take care of. I am now back. Equally got dragged into stuff today, but whatever. Spare tires ratcheted onto the back of the truck tonight, so, you know, we're good.
Nice.
Yeah. And we'll derail with this. We'll start with this fun story. The truck had a flat tire, and we didn't have a pump. Of all things that I didn't have, like, I knew I had a pump at home. My brother had a pump, but not in his car. And I normally keep one in the car, but I didn't have it.
Just for emergencies.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, fine. We'll just change the fucking spare tire, and we'll put the spare on. Mm-hmm. Except the it has a safety catch so that the tire can't just fall off the back of the truck.
Right.
Except it's so rusted that it won't release. So the tire's just hanging like 6 inches off, and it wobbles while you drive. But like, it's not going anywhere. Like, it's just, it's rusted. Right. It's basically rusted onto the truck. And so I've been like trying to figure out like how I can get it off. I'm like hitting it with hammers, whatever. I watched a couple YouTube videos, but like, I think it's just rusted so stuck. It isn't going anywhere. But the guy had prepped it by ratcheting the tire back up to the frame. And I was like, he's got something going there. He's got, you know, that's an idea. I can do that. So I tried what his video suggested, basically, like, you put the tire up all the way so that you can, like, get at the piece that stuck to free it, but even then I couldn't free it, and I was like, you know what, fuck it. But the ratchet, I was like, it's holding the tire up, so who cares? It's pressed up against the vehicle, so people behind me don't have to think that I'm about to drop a fucking
tire on them,
truck tire on them while I'm, you know, driving away.
Right.
So, you know, that was
like that car in real life.
Yeah, that was exactly right. It's no green shell, motherfucker. That's a Bridgestone.
Blue shell, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly, right? So that was today, which was interesting. But, so we'll move past Black Friday. Cyber Monday, I didn't see, sadly, any deals on the headset that I was looking for. I was looking for that Steel Series. Uh-huh. It must be too new that they're not discounting it, because, like, the other models, there were other models discounted, but I want that one that works with the
Switch. Is that one specifically for Switch, or it just works with the Switch?
It's not, well, I mean, it's marketed as a Switch headset. It works with. Oh,
okay. So then that's why then Nintendo was like, nah, 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 nah.
No, I think it's so new. I think SteelSeries must have just come out with it, and it's probably why they're not discounting it. Because, like, some of their, like, really, really nice ones were discounted, like $75 off. But I don't want that one.
Right.
I like the ability of the, so there's two, and like the shitty thing is there's two Arctis 3 models. There's like the regular one, and then there's the Bluetooth one. And I want the Bluetooth one because it allows you to plug the wired cable into the Switch and then Bluetooth the headset to your phone for like Discord or the Splatoon chat app or whatever. Or in my thought process, music. Like, I could just play music from my phone to the headset while playing a game and get the best of both worlds. Or, like, a podcast or whatever. But that one is, like, $130. And, you know, for what it's worth, it's probably worth the price. So I'm probably just going to have to buy it. I was just kind of hoping. But, I mean, the Sony I'm using right now, aside from falling off my head because the plastic broke, so it has nothing to keep it, like, secure to my head anymore, sucks. But, like, the headset itself works fine. Like, the audio is fine.
Yeah, it still works, you know.
But part of me is kind of like, man, that Switch headset, you know, is pretty sweet. I like the idea. I like the concept.
Right. I'm digging it.
Anyways, and then I bought some other just non-gaming related stuff for Cyber Monday, but The other topic that
Noise.
we were going to talk about was Destiny 2. And
Oh, yes.
yeah, so you wanted to talk about the whole XP thing or just in general, or what were you?
The XP. Oh, yeah, the XP thing and how I mean, I didn't even think about it. So I don't have the article on hand, but apparently what I read on Reddit is there were some gamers that like looked into it and like paid attention to how the XP bar worked. So like how it works is, you get the normal XP gain, but if you farm events, it goes slower and slower every time. So you're getting less XP doing it that way. And then pretty much gamer, they called Bungie out and like, hey, like this is not how you should be doing this. Like you should be giving us the same XP gain no matter what we do. And Bungie was like, no, yeah, we looked into it. You guys are right. We're basically throttling XP. And like, okay, well, we're gonna rehash it. We're gonna redo the whole system. That way it's fair for you guys.
Right.
But people are still like, that's kind of unacceptable. Like, if you knew you were doing it, then you kind of should have, stopped.
Or, in my opinion, just been more transparent about it. Like, if
Yeah,
you,
right.
and if you, like, basically,
Or just told us, hey,
right.
if you farm events, you're going to get less XP, so don't,
Right.
you know.
And so I went and I Googled a little bit, and so ArtsTechnica.com had an article that was, it was actually, this one was published today, and it just says, Destiny 2 misrepresented XP gains to its player until the devs got caught. Over the Thanksgiving weekend, the largest Destiny-related Reddit community exploded with data that seemed to confirm an unadvertised limitation in the game Destiny 2. According to fan analysts, players of the always online shooting game suffered from drops in experience point XP gain, depending on what modes they played and for how long without any in-game notice. This revelation was promptly followed by the game's developer Bungie, confirming the discovery as accurate and promising a fix. But this fix was coupled with another unannounced change, a flat across-the-board reduction in XP gains for all Destiny 2 activities. Bungie only confirmed that decision after fans pointed it out. So, apparently, yes, you were right. If you grinded public events, you got less XP over time, but I guess it scaled differently depending on what you were doing. Which is kind of BS because as a person who doesn't like as a person who doesn't have the ability to raid or really doesn't enjoy getting smashed around in Crucible, running public events and missions is like the only thing I have. So now you're telling me the one thing that
All
I'm
right,
trying
right.
to do to gain an edge is actually, I'm getting punished for that?
Yeah, right. Like that's unacceptable.
Yeah. So
Unacceptable.
this there's like a whole bar graph. The yellow line is the biggie. This explains how much XP has been lost between what's advertised and what's actually been earned. Cumulative DIM XP. I don't know what that means. With stopwatch in hand, a user named EnergizerX tracked the modes he played, keeping an eye on any shifts in XP gain over time. He put enough data together to confirm those suspicions. The XP gained in certain modes would shrink with each repetition. Worse, the game gave no indication of these diminishing returns. The XP gain numbers that popped up above the game's XP bar didn't reflect the game's hidden scaling system, thus, there was no way for a player to accurately calculate how their XP gain had been affected or scaled without going through his exhaustive process. Posted to Reddit, calls for developer response, community received on Saturday. Bungie confirmed its use of an XP scaler. That's in quotes because that's obviously not a technical term. Added that it was not performing the way we'd like it to. So they removed it and then changed it. Okay. But this patch, another unannounced shit. I mean, this whole article basically is just saying, like, this is not cool. It talks about the whole thing. I'm gonna link it because this is actually really, there's a lot of information here to digest. But I right here, fan outcry to this system has mostly hinged on the lack of transparency from the developer, with the game neither displaying correct XP amounts while scaling was active, nor officially guiding players to play better gaining modes. Other players have pointed to official paid promotions like Bungie and Activision's promotional deal with the snack food Pop-Tarts, which offered double XP gains in exchange for buying their food. Did I technically get the 25% XP boost? Oh, that's a good question. Okay, so this person's saying, like, did I actually get the XP boost? But if the scaling mechanic was public knowledge before the Pop-Tarts event, would you have spent your money on Pop-Tarts? Because you probably would have gotten you would have got a 25% boost, but you would have been it would have been scaling down as you played.
Scaled down.
So you paid to get XP that you didn't actually really get.
Correct. Which, bullshit.
That's no good. That is no good.
Not good at all. And it's good that people are able to call them out and be like, hey, like, fix it or at least let us know what's up. And, you know, for the most part, they're like, yeah, we messed up. Our bad. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, it sucks that it has to go to that point, though. But, I mean, as long as they acknowledge it and, you know, do something.
I guess my problem is it doesn't help Bungie's cause when, like, people are already kind of unhappy with the game anyways. I mean, and I know that people have said, if you look at the time D1 release to the first expansion and D2 to the first expansion is the same amount of time, it's just super disappointing that I think there wasn't a whole lot of endgame content thought process. And I guess what my problem is why did they think that XP scaling was a good idea? Like, what was the driving factor for them to be like, let's limit how much XP you can earn? Because, like, the benefit of me farming public events is tokens and maybe getting bright engrams after engrams. A while. Yeah. And, like, realistically, you can't get anything game-breaking out of a bright engram anyways, so what were you, like, preventing me from doing?
I mean, I guess here's the thing I see it is, you know, if people want to get these bright engrams and get some of these emotes, it's going to turn into, oh, this is going to take too long, I'm just going to spend money for silver and buy bright engrams. So I guess... in turn, it turns into, oh, okay, let's turn to the microtransactions, which,
right.
I mean, I doubt that's the case, but, I mean, that's one way for Activision to be like, hey, push them towards buying silver, so, yeah, I don't know. That's one, I guess it's another theory to go off of, whether they want to say it or not.
Yeah, I don't know, man. So I'm going through another article from Kotaku. This one's Jason Schreier. And the tagline is, as Destiny 2 players rage, Bungie struggles to respond. And it just talks about the as quoting here, the sketchiness of the experience system has frustrated players, and just their Bungie's unwillingness to address the complaints. You know, for what it's worth, I've definitely seen a lot of the people that I normally follow on Twitter in the Destiny community with not positive things to say.
Right.
I would confidently say that more people I know are not super happy with Destiny 2 versus the same time, you know, D1 launched a few years ago.
Right.
I honestly never play Iron Banner, but I know a ton of people are really not happy about the way Iron Banner's working, and I honestly have no idea why. I'm just going to trust them that these are people I know that play the game a lot, and if they're not happy with the way it's working, it's probably something.
Right, yeah, because from a competitive standpoint, you want it to work a specific way. Especially when it comes to, you know, earning loot and all that, and like earning gear.
I imagine that's probably the crux of it. Like, because even if you look at what's going on with, like, Trials of Osiris, like, the benefit to the clan thing is that I thankfully never had to do a whole lot to get certain engrams. Like, we get the raid engram as long as our clan does the raid. We get the trials engram as long as our clan is in the trial, which allowed me to luck out and get a few different weapons that I wasn't expecting to get
because I had an engram.
And, like, that's a nice bonus for me. But if my friends are the ones doing all this work and they're like, this is such a waste of time, I'm not going to do it anymore. Like, one, I lose that secondary extra benefit, and they just, true, they don't get to play and enjoy the game that they bought.
It's true.
Oh, this is interesting. Well, so this is, I'm reading, this is still, I'm still like skimming this Kotaku article. And so, I'm just going to read this one paragraph. Of course, we've been here before. Since Destiny's launch in September 2014, the veteran development studio has seemed unwilling or unable to be transparent with fans. And then in parentheses, it says, from what I hear, the company remains unwilling or unable to be transparent with many of its own employees, too. End parentheses. Interesting, okay, to note. As Destiny went through its ups and downs, Bungie never stopped obfuscating, doing its best to keep even the most basic mechanics as opaque as possible, sticking with marketing plans full of smarmy teases and drip feed PR streams. It's interesting that he notes, like he says, from what he hears, the company remains to be transparent with its own employees too, because that totally can, you know, I'm not gonna really dig into that too much, but that's kind of a bummer if even some of the employees are, you know, speaking probably in private, basically being like, yeah, it sucks. It just doesn't sound good.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I have no doubt in my mind that Bungie is gonna be around for the long haul, and they've definitely got the money thing on their side. I think once you kind of lose that shift in consumer confidence and the gamers wanting to play your game, what do you do? You know?
Yeah.
Because, like, for what it's worth, I haven't played Destiny in a while. I've been playing Mario, and I've been playing...
I've been on the Switch a lot, too.
Yeah, just been more on the Switch because it's easier for me to play when I'm kind of just putzing around.
Yep, pretty much, yeah. I mean, I do want to play more Destiny, but everyone's busy, or, you know, there's no one wants to play it,
right,
is what it's turning into. But, you know, it is what it is. Something I hope they change for when the DLC comes out next week. Right. Is it December 1st or December 12th?
It's like the first week of December. I don't know the exact.
So sometime next week, we'll find out. See what they decide to do.
Right. Hopefully they make the right decision.
We'll see.
Don't do me dirty.
We will see. Because if there's no changes, then obviously we're going to see a huge drop in numbers, not just because of the XP thing, but just because...
I think a lot of people are just going to be tired of getting dicked around.
Yeah, right? Or it's going to be a whole, you know, year one thing where, you know, terrible, 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 and then, you know, the Token King and whatever the other ones come out, and people are like, oh, okay, Destiny's fun again. Turns into that.
That's true.
Where they're going to change the system to where it works, where, you know, players are like, oh, okay, this is how it should have been. It's probably going to be like that again. I can see that kind of change, just to push the gamers back in and the veterans and, you know, bring in newcomers.
Right. I wonder how it's affected the, like, primarily Destiny streamers. And if, for my own due diligence, I should really just reach out to some of them and be like, yo, what's the deal? Like, how do you feel about this? Because I don't rely on this as a source of income. I am not a Destiny streamer. Like, I'd be curious to have, like, a conversation with some of the people I know and just be like, what do you really feel? Like, do you feel like Bungie is trying to help support you as you kind of basically allow them to continue to make money? Because, like, much as a streamer makes their living off of a game, the developer makes some form of income off of that streamer from constantly giving their game press and bringing other people into the fold in a way that they just probably never could. So I am always curious how that kind of relationship works.
Same.
But I don't know.
Yeah. He's what it is.
That is exactly it. So I don't know, man. That was it. That's probably all I'll say about it. I mean,
Yeah, no,
I've had mixed feelings about Destiny pretty much since it came out because I just feel like it's more of the same. I know that a lot of people think it's like hugely different, but like
Right.
it's hard for me to be like, yeah, it's so different when I feel like I'm in the exact same spot that I was with Destiny 2. I mean Destiny 1.
Right.
Like
This
it
is
looks better, you know? It plays
right.
a little bit smoother and it looks better, but what more is different, you know?
Right.
You've rediskinsed or
Redesigned it.
yeah, but
Disguised
like
it,
you've changed my patrol missions to be different things, but they're effectively the same.
Same, right. I mean, I had the same fun we had the first time, like with D1 before the changes. I had fun like that again.
Right.
But I mean, yeah, now that there's like not much else to do unless you find a raid group, then yeah, it's that same repeating cycle of great, let's do the same five patrol missions and the, same whatever adventures and lost sectors or whatever. Over and over and over just to get like two pieces of blue gear that you can't even infuse.
Right.
So there's a
I
lot
don't
of
know.
changes we need to remake and rehash and whatever.
So that's
Yeah.
that. That's Destiny 2. What there was another thing you wanted to talk about, and I can't remember what it was.
Oh, okay. So EA and Battlefront 2.
Okay.
Star Wars Battlefront 2. So the whole no one likes microtransactions, and I'm pretty sure we talked about that before,
Yep.
but with this one, so of course people were pissed off about the loot boxes and how it's pay to win. But then they came around and were like, oh, okay, we hear you. And like, okay, well, we're just gonna make everything cheaper and then, do it this way.
But and didn't they for like a short period of time, didn't they just remove all of that altogether? Like they took it all out of the game or whatever?
Oh yeah, now they did after even more backlash from fans
Okay.
and like low sales. They're like, okay, we're gonna suspend microtransactions for now and you can earn everything in game. But people still are like, no, it's inexcusable. We're still not buying the game. So now people are basically, they want EA to be blacklisted. Like they don't want EA to have the Star Wars license anymore. I mean, they don't want EA around anymore in general. Because people are sick of it with FIFA and Madden, whatever their packs are called, like the Ultimate Team. So yeah, that's what I want to talk about was the stupid microtransactions again.
Oh,
And how,
microtransactions.
like, I don't get how you think it's a good idea and it's going to work, but then you hear the feedback and get all the backlash and you're like, oh, okay, maybe it's not going to work. And then you like still kind of weasel your way out of it, but still you're like, no, we're going to bring it back eventually. Because I think one article said it's a temporary suspend.
Yeah.
So,
So,
which means they're going to rework it. They're bringing them back, but
oh
they're
yeah,
going to rework
microtransactions are
it. So
definitely coming
it's,
back. So
so it's not like
I was quickly
yeah.
reading this and you talking about it jogged my memory 'cause I had some conversations with coworkers at work. I have one coworker who said, "Not buying it at all. Fuck you. Like
Keep saying.
don't microtransaction the hell out of a game that I want." And I literally was just like, I'm like, can you not play and earn it? And they were like, yeah, but allegedly I think he said like 40 hours is what it
Oh
takes to
no.
like earn a
Like
character.
2,458 hours or something like that if you want to get a lot of stuff.
Well, that's crazy. And so I was like, and I was like, okay. And then I had another coworker who was like, I don't like microtransactions, but I'm an adult and I'm just not going to buy them. But he said he was like,
And
but
vote with
he's
your
like, but
wallet, but
well, he vote exactly vote with your wallet. But his other response was, but I'm an adult who has a disposable income, as opposed to young
so it
kids
doesn't
who, as well, just as opposed to young kids who have a disposable amount of time, where like they can take the time to level up and earn a character. where he was
It's
like,
true.
I can't. So if I can pay to get the character that I want and then I can play as that character, awesome. I would
Right.
be willing to do that up to a certain point. And I think that's, to me, the global, like, stepping back from the big picture of Star Wars and saying, like, if that were the kind of draw, then great. But it seems like, because I don't know enough about Battlefront, I never played the first one, I obviously haven't played the second one, are the characters seem to have pros and cons to them that make them more effective than other characters, which then it looks like it's a pay to play, a pay to win, because if you buy the character that's better up front and you're playing as that character, then yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know enough about either of the two games, because I never played the first one, so like I don't like can you explain to me what the game, this sounds really dumb, but like can you explain to me what Battlefront 2 is? Like, is it, it's a third person.
It's a first person shooter.
Oh, okay.
It's still an FPS. So it's your standard like Call of Duty,
I
whatever,
feel like I played the
Battlefield.
beta and you could fly around in the AT and like trip the AT-ATs, but like it's kind of like a ground war amongst, yeah.
With, you know, iconic characters and iconic, you know, scenes and locations.
Right.
So yeah, it's just your standard shooter, but skinned to Star Wars,
So
you
Battlefield
know,
Star
because I
Wars.
think, yeah, I think because I think DICE actually is the developer,
That, yeah, yep.
and EA is the publishers, yeah. So yeah, your standard Battlefield game, but yeah, Star Wars skinned. So imagine playing Battlefield 4 or whatever, but Star Wars.
And so you're
That's
paying,
basically what it
so
is.
I'm paying to play as a character in the game, but that character comes with perks that are unavailable to other characters.
Well, you get these things called star cards. I don't know if it works with the hero characters, but like if you
Okay.
have a you the first one you could kind of somewhat create your own character, like kind of, but not really, because you could change the way you look and your armor and stuff like that. But you would get like abilities through these things called star cards.
Yep.
So what you could do in two, since they changed it, is you could basically buy loot crates to get better star cards right off the bat,
Okay.
and that's pissed people off. Because for, you know, people like, I don't know, you know, some people that don't really like, they have a job but they don't make that much money to just buy all these loot crates. That's a disadvantage for them
Sure.
from day one, because then they're playing against someone that's already got the best gear or whatever, and you know, they get that technical advantage off the bat. That's not fair for the other person that
Right.
can't do that.
Yep.
So that's what pissed off a lot of people with the whole microtransactions and loot crates and all that.
Yep.
So obviously they had to backtrack and change that, so that way now I think what they said is, I think now it's all earnable through in-game. So you level up, you get the credits, you can use those credits to buy the whatever, you
And
know.
before everyone bitched and moaned, there was no in-game earning credit system.
Oh, well, there was, but
Oh,
you would
okay.
get like two credits, you
Gotcha. It
know,
just was nearly
some kind of low amount. Yeah, it
virtually
was,
impossible to get them.
yeah.
Okay.
That's why it would have taken so long to get a hero, because I think they were like
Is a hero like a hero is
45,000.
just a predefined
So like Luke
character that's
Skywalker,
okay.
yeah. So like Skywalker
And you
characters like that,
and if you
like
play
the
as Luke
big names.
Skywalker, you're more powerful than the other characters.
Correct. Yeah, because you could kill, you know, just throw your lightsaber, kill a stormtrooper, no problem.
Okay.
You know, yeah. That's it. So people were pissed off at that. That you could easily earn, you know, the tactical advantage right from day one, instead of just, okay, you know, whatever, the typical Call of Duty grind that everyone goes through where their prestige, you
Prestige,
know.
prestige, prestige. Well, yeah, because like I feel like
It
most of the time, I mean,
start gaming
I
stage
haven't
one, you
played
know.
Call of Duty in forever, but I feel like the crates that I was getting, it was all aesthetic stuff. Like it was, you know, different pants or attachments for weapons, not necessarily better weapons. Although maybe there were. I honestly, I just don't even remember. It's been so long. And like I always think about like when I played Overwatch a handful of times and like I got a crate and it was dope as hell, but like the crates are just like skins.
So yeah, I mean, it's like a double-edged sword. From the outside, you're like, that's kind of dumb to be mad about. Like, it's just a you know, like a skin or whatever. But
Right.
as a, you know, competitive or, you know, fan of the game, then, you know, you want to have that advantage yourself too. But if you can't, then you're like, this is bullshit. That's unfair. I don't want to play,
Yeah, I don't
you
want to play
know.
if you can literally buy me out of the game. Yeah,
That
that's
is kind
bullshit.
of bullshit for you to. You get the game, you're like, sweet, I'm gonna play with my friends, and they're like prestige one because they spent like $100 or whatever, you know, on the best loot crates. And you're like, well, I don't have the money to do that, so now, you know, I can't really play with you because it's not fair for me, you know, because they're stealing all the kills and you're sitting here getting like one kill a game. So I can see both sides, but I don't know. Like, EA as a company is just, ugh. I don't know. I don't get the thought process they have where they're just like, let's do this for the game. And then, you know, they think it's fair for the consumer when it's not fair for the consumer. Because you
Interesting.
spend $60 on the game already, anyways.
Right, and
So.
that's the thing. I think what's also interesting is this re I think I don't know if it re-sparked the debate or it has at least sparked a debate that's been kind of ongoing about like in-game loot boxes and stuff being treated as
Gambling.
gambling. And like if you ask me the question, do I think loot crates are gambling? I say no.
I think to an extent. Well, because it is kind of a gamble, because you're not guaranteed what you're gonna get.
But
So
you're
it's a
getting
gamble to
but you're
get that
getting
loot crate.
something. You get something. Like that's the
Right.
thing.
But I
Like
mean, half the time is like
when I like and you're talking to somebody who buys lottery tickets on the daily. Like to me, I don't look at it as gambling because like when I buy a lottery ticket, I'm not guaranteed to win anything, right? Like I'm gonna scratch off those numbers and I'm probably gonna lose most of the time. Whereas every time I buy a loot
Right.
crate in any of these games, I'm getting something. It may not be what I want, but I'm getting something.
That's fair.
And
That's fair.
based on the way that the, I guess the economy works in most of these games, you know, whatever you're paying for, I should say,
Is what you get, yeah.
it, well, no, it's just like they've developed like what the base is, right? So your standard items, and then it's like, ooh, I've got rare and I've got exotic and I've got legendary, and it's like, so I have a chance at getting some cool stuff.
Chance.
But like you have to accept the reality that most of the time you're gonna get boring stuff. And I think about it the way that I think about how I used to play Counter-Strike, and I would earn crates, but you couldn't open the crates, right? I had to buy the key to open the crate, or you get the keys, but you have to buy the crates. It's one or the other. I don't remember exactly because I think
Something like
I
that,
only
yeah.
bought like two or three crates, but like the crates were like $3. The thing with CSGO is that I think in or just Steam games in general, I suppose that the Steam economy, I think it would be a little more questionable because the things you are buying on Steam have a dollar amount, right? Like I can literally
It's
win
true.
some skin for a gun in CSGO and it will be like this Steam sells on average for $52. Like I mean, and then you watch these kids playing the online wager things, which that to me, that is one, it's external from Steam, though Steam has they're allowing their API to be used, so like they're kind of complicit in this, but and I feel like we've talked about it before, or maybe I've just like I've seen a lot of, I watched a couple of YouTube videos about this. Like, if I'm going to a website that's linked to Steam's API and I'm putting up my things that have a dollar amount attached to them, and I'm playing against somebody else for a dollar amount, and one of us wins or loses, that to me is gambling because I am risking
True.
losing these
Yeah.
things as opposed to paying $3 to definitely
Paying
get
$3, yeah.
stuff.
That's fair. Yeah, okay.
And
No,
I
I
guess
get you. I get you.
there was the whole controversy because there was that one CS:GO player who like didn't really disclose that he like owned the gambling company that he was using. Like he was using so, and again, it's one of those things like I don't remember the names or the website, but I'm sure if you spend like any time Googling CS:GO stuff, you probably
Googling,
find it.
yeah, you find it,
And
yeah.
so like he was doing the like gambling betting things where he's like betting against people, but like he like then went to a different page and like basically like it looked very apparent that he had the ability to kind of predict the outcome of
change
of his plays, and one that's basically like rigging your own system to win. And granted, he didn't always win, but like it just kind of it puts a bad taste in your mouth because like people are playing against him or want to play against him, and like basically they're just giving him his money, you know. Or giving them giving him their money.
Essentially, so like, somewhat kind of stealing.
Yeah, and like Philip DeFranco had done a bunch of YouTube videos on it, and like he ended up like making a YouTube apology video and being like, I should have disclosed my business, and then he didn't, but he kind of did. And fuck, I can't remember what his name is, but I know he lived in like Florida, because there was all this like stuff about like LLC, and he was in business with this pro player, and like why weren't these pro players talking about it and announcing that, like, and which is it's weird in 2017 that like disclosing these types of things is now way more of a thing than I think it ever really was. Like even a few years ago, like, you know, websites like Polygon, Kotaku, whatever, like all these other gaming websites would put like at the end, editor's note, like we received this game to review it, like, but it didn't affect our review, but we did get the game for free. And
yeah.
And like being completely transparent, even though this isn't super transparent, like I've gotten games for free to review and I've reviewed them and I never actually put that because in my head, it was never a thing that I was thinking about.
Right.
Or, and like then like recently, like the FTC has been like tweeting and posting about like influencers and social media people and like how you have to do like hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored, because they are providing you this stuff. And a couple people brought up like good arguments that were like, but if I'm a journalist and I'm being given this to play and write a review, if I have to then put ad or sponsored, like it implies that there is a bias because I'm being paid to do this when I'm not really being paid. I'm just being given a copy of the game.
Correct.
And that's like, we kind of started on one thing about loot crates and microtransactions ended up over here.
It still works.
But like that would like that in my head, that's the problem is like the whole conversation about microtransactions, I think, encompasses all of these things because they're all related in a way. And it's just kind of like how far into it are we going and how far into it are these game companies going? And I think you're right. I think EA is probably the worst offender when it comes to microtransactions in your video games, because I can even remember FIFA coins or whatever the hell the currency was being a thing. Like when I was playing FIFA on the fucking Nintendo Wii.
Oh, damn.
So
wow.
I don't know if it really was. I feel like I remember seeing like FIFA coins.
I'm sure there's something. And the worst part is some of these games are marketed towards children, or like teens, you know, and they don't know any better. They're like, oh, whatever. It's like $5. Hey, mom, let me get this. Okay, sure. Whatever, Timmy. And then, you know, they see their credit card, like you spent $100 on this, like, you know, whatever. So then, you know, it's very bad. Yeah.
I mean, so I had a conversation with a friend who works for a developer whose name remains nameless, as well as the developer, and they said that they had a person who like complained to the company because they had dropped thousands on a mobile game, thousands of dollars on a mobile game.
Well,
yeah, and they weren't looking for their money back. They just felt like they had paid this money and didn't totally get what they thought they should get. The problem was is had they read the whole thing, they would have realized what they were buying into, and they basically just kind of threw away a lot of money. But like, to me, that's so crazy that like I'm not saying I would never let it get that bad, but I don't think I could ever fathom spending that much money. Like when I see kids playing CSGO, because I used to watch a lot of streams of like CSGO players, and like when I would see them be like, all right, we're opening up crates, and they'd be like, all right, so if you want me to open up a crate, like, throw me $3. And like people would donate $3, so they would open crates or whatever. But they would also just be using their own money. And I'd be like, you just opened like 20 crates at $3 a piece. Like that's, or you know, however much it was. I'm like, that's a lot of money. Like I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't open, right? I couldn't open up 10 crates. Like I would have to be like responsible and be like, I have to buy food and, you know, pay gas. And
it's
stuff.
Like maybe I do one, but even then, like, nope.
You know, and I bought a couple CSGO crates, I mean, I think I bought less than 5, and it was because I did. I was like hoping that maybe I'll get some cool skin, maybe I'll get a stat track weapon.
Right.
And like, I think I got 2 stat track weapons that are worth like 60 cents. But the thing that's weird about Steam is I can literally go into Steam and sell those items and then make a couple bucks. And if I make a couple bucks, I can then buy another crate and see what happens.
That's a dangerous system altogether.
And like in Team Fortress 2, I remember talking to Craig over at Able Gamers. I don't remember what the in-game item was, but I remember him saying it's one of the most expensive things like in the game or in Steam in general, to the point where like people who get them, like immediately their accounts get hacked because people want to hack their account to get the item.
To get the item, yeah.
And like, I just remember like being like so shocked that like that's how crazy, how much value some of these things can have. But then I sit there and I think about like the different types of karambits, which is the knife that people get in like in CSGO, and they'll be like $300 or $400 a piece. And I'm like, how? Like, how rare is it in that ecosystem of that game that its dollar value got attached at that rate?
Right, yeah.
And then I also
what kind
think,
of system
like,
is
and then I also think like if I threw like $20 into crates in CSGO and then sold them and got something cool and made my money back, to me that is like kind of gambling in a weird way, because it's like I'm spending money to make more money. If I'm buying loot crates, I'm just buying loot crates to get items. Like I guess the problem is when you allow someone to sell the items or generate income with the items in a weird way, that's when it gets questionable. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess the unanswered question will be, to go all the way back, what happens when they reinstate in-game purchases
in-game
in Battlefront 2? If they haven't already, I don't know. I just know that they removed them when the game launched at the beginning of last week. I think it was the 16th.
Yeah,
and a half ago. I'm wondering what the thing will
what
be.
It's going
to
be.
I feel like someone had mentioned to me that Bob Iger, who's like the head of Disney, he had like called EA and basically said like, "Quit fucking up."
Right. Yeah.
Which is a whole like they want to pull Star Wars from EA, which like would be crap. I mean, it would be devastating to EA.
Everyone says they should.
I mean, at one point, I always wonder. Like, at one point, do you just let another company have it just to see what's different? You know, just to see what like what their take on it would be. But then
there were going to be a whole bunch of the takes, but they got pulled.
Sure. Because, like, my thing is, like, I look at that and then I think, like, what would it be like if somebody who wasn't Naughty Dog made the Uncharted games? Or made The Last of Us, right? Like, if The Last of Us went to...
Last of Us by Bungie.
Yeah, The Last of Us by... But even if it just stayed within Sony and it was, like, Bend did The Last of Us, or Sucker Punch, or Santa Monica, or San Diego Studio... Well, San Diego Studios technically, I guess, doesn't exist anymore. Had a lot of layoffs, but like you know, like what would that be like, you know, like what if fucking like, let's put it this way, like what if Media Molecule made the next Last of Us game, right? Like how fucking completely different would that be versus having Naughty Dog just always make it? So I guess I'd be curious to see because like and I guess the difference would be that the amount of oversight that Disney probably has on Star Wars IPs on any platform are probably insane.
Right.
So what would they do?
I imagine it.
You know, what would they do differently if it goes to somebody other than EA?
True. I mean, far as we know, it could have been Disney. It was like, hey, microtransactions. To, you know, as far as we know. But
It's like, yeah, maybe they'll reinstate Disney Interactive, or you know, the team that did Disney Infinity, but they probably won't because they probably got rid of it for a reason.
Yeah, well, weird reason, even though it was kind of untrue. But hey, whatever.
Yeah, I know. I always thought Disney Infinity was cool. I mean, it was just Disney Skylanders, but...
Yeah, they made decent money, but I guess apparently not enough.
Right.
So I wonder what's going to happen to Battlefront then, because I've seen a lot of pictures that people took at, like, Walmarts and, like, Targets.
Oh, yeah, where the shelves were bare, but just, and, like, Battlefront is
everything's
stocked.
Empty, but, yes, all Battlefront copies are still there, so... And obviously, there's people still going to buy Battlefront because they love Star Wars.
Right.
So they're like, whatever, I'm not going to worry about transactions. All right, you know, I love Star Wars. I'm getting it for Star Wars, not, FEA, whatever, you know.
Is there Star a single Wars, player so. Mode or is it all online?
Apparently, it's a fantastic campaign.
Okay.
So, yeah. I think Kotaku or something like that, Polygon, they're like, oh, yeah, the campaign's amazing. So if you're going to get it for that at least. Right. So, but I don't know. I'll get it when it's like $20, whatever.
Right.
When the, gold or whatever ultra edition is like $10, whatever, like they did with the first game.
Yeah, all the random DLC packages, etc.
Yeah.
So. Well, I mean, it's a lot to digest, right? Like, especially because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what conversations are happening behind the scenes, but. You kind of just hope that they come out of this on top and make the fans happy. But I don't know, man.
They have to find a positive way. Like, there's no way they can't not come out of this shining or finding a way to earn the fans' trust back. They have to find a way. So even if they bring them back, because they're going to, they have to make money somehow, not just strictly sales. So, they have to find some. They're gonna find some kind of compromise that says, "Hey, we messed up. We're bringing them back, but we're not gonna make them." What's the word I'm thinking of? Like, you don't have to buy the loot crates,
Right. Or yeah, they just like have if to, you want, I mean, just they just have to change the balance of how fast you earn them and what you get out of them versus what you do if you pay.
Just make them earnable in game. Like, you can bring the transactions back, but just make loot crates earnable in game, like every other level, something like that.
Right?
Because you get a loot crate.
Isn't that how all Overwatch is? Like, every level, you're definitely guaranteed one, but like every certain amount of wins in a row, you get one too.
Yeah, it's like either every 5 games or like every 2 to 3 wins or something like that, you'll get a loot crate. So, which is that pushes you to want to do better.
Right.
Which is good, because you get a reward.
And the more you play, ideally, the better you get, so.
Yeah, exactly. Do something like that. Like, have it where you can buy a loot crate if you want, or the more matches and the better you do, you earn X amount. And then, boom, gamers will love you again. But whatever, I'm not EA. I don't work for EA,
I would if you hired me, but,
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, just saying. Hook your boy up.
I'll let people hate me. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll be your Twitter hype man. Battlefront 2 is the best game ever. Buy our shit.
Yeah, right. You do it. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's probably cap it there and just be like, cool.
Yeah. No.
So
no.
It's like, if you're playing Battlefront 2, let us know what you think. I'm curious.
Right.
Because I never, your thoughts. I can't remember. I feel like I played the beta and, was just kind of, cool. So it's Star Wars Battlefield. And that was kind of how
it's a fun game. Like, I have the first one.
Yeah. And I feel like these games are all totally based on how much fun you can have with people you play with.
For me, that's shoes in general. Like, if I'm not playing with friends on a shooter, I typically don't play them. Like, I don't just throw an Overwatch for funsies.
Right.
Unless I, really want to play it.
Yeah.
It's like, if you're like, yo, let's play Overwatch, I'm like, bet, down, let's go. But otherwise, I'm like, whatever.
Right. All right. Well, so with that we'll cap it there and call it a day. You can follow us on Twitter @TheDGCast. You can follow me on Twitter @SoAfterISaid. Follow Mike at mtongue1, but don't follow him though. Just tweet him.
Follow me, unfollow me. I don't need your pity follows.
And thanks for listening. I'm trying to think if there was anything else I need to mention.
Of course, like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube, Twitter, whatever. You used to be like, sucks, great, whatever, you commented.
Yeah.
You know, that shows us that you listened or you did something.
Right.
You know.
The struggle. Hashtag the struggle. So that's been it for episode 89, part 2, / episode 90. And we will catch you
on the flip.